We focused on the rock just a few weeks ago in the sermon. Today I have selected the gospel and changed the gospel order to go back to it as we prepare for next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 28th and 29th, that marks such a key date of importance regarding the future and ministry of Grace United Church of Christ. Your current interim pastor will not be present to share those days with you. The person selected as pastoral candidate and is in agreement to be here. You've received the letter, and you'll meet her and have the opportunity to ask questions. But my responsibility is to assist in preparing you for the upcoming opportunity. As you, Grace Church, reach into the foundation of grace, and as you look at new additions, in this regard, I have turned to that passage, Jesus' conclusion story of the Sermon on the Mount, where he declares that you've already heard, everyone there then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the man who built his house upon the rock. And of course the rains come down and the floods come up, and the winds blow, but because he's built it upon the rock, the house is solid. So no matter what decision, though, that we make as a church, next weekend or any other time, no matter how solid you become in your decision, no matter how strong is the rock and the foundation of Grace Church, the rain will continue to fall, the floods will come down, and the winds of life will blow and beat upon you as the church. And I bring these forth today to let you understand that this is an analogy as we utilize scriptures in this regard today. For as we declared on Pentecost, you are the church, we are the church, and we are the church together. So church, as your spiritual community and sanctuary foundation of love, hope, joy, and peace and justice, it will be challenged. You have to make a decision that is the best preparation for the future of Grace Church. Of course, you know the second part of the scripture. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and blew and beat against the house and it fell, and the great was the fall. The prayer is that you, Grace United Church of Christ, will not be likened unto the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. I want to take you back to one of the stories in my life. I've shared many church memories with you as a pastor, and I want to share one more. When I was interviewing, and I'm going to use the name of the church, when I was interviewing to be pastor at Remsen Church, this is the way it happened. I was on the board for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Ohio, and as the new church committee gave its report, I said, you know, we're always talking about building a new church and putting our money over there. What about redevelopment of a church? And they said, great, glad you brought up the question. We want you to be the candidate, and we'll find the church that needs to be redeveloped. And so they sent me forth to interview at Remsen Church, which established a contract with the wider church of the Christian Church in Ohio, and I was called there as redeveloping pastor. And that was all good. It's going to be a lot nice parsonage, similar to the one here, except much smaller, but very pretty and relatively new at the time. But here's what happened. The church did not let me or my family, my wife, know that a year before we were called to be pastor, there had been a shooting out in front of the church. A man next door to the church went berserk. When the police came, he shot at a police officer. He was captured and sent to jail and imprisoned for a short couple years. The church did not think that such a shaking of the foundation was important. They were naive. They were ignorant about why do we need to share that. And I'm not sure how I would have reacted if I had known. I can guess how my wife Rebecca would have reacted. Would have been a rather frightening thing for her. So one evening, after we'd been there for about 2 years, we did not know, but the man had gotten out of prison. He lived next door with his mother, who ran a small nursing home that could hold as many as 5 people. And then on the other side of, she lived on one side of the church, we lived on the other side, and on the other side of that, her other children built a house. So we were surrounded by this family who had children that walked through our yard and all these things. But all of a sudden, one night, in the middle of the night, about 2:30 in the morning, there was a gunshot from our patio, right below our bedroom window. It was a .38, quite a loud boom. It woke us up. I jumped up and looked out the window and could see the man who had fired the shot. He was walking around the yard with his gun and more guns strapped to him. All of a sudden, he walked out to the little pond behind the church, and he was shooting in the pond. And I began to, of course, call the police. And then as the evening went, and we were waiting on the police, shots would be fired, and my children, of course, were awakened and went into panic. My wife, of course, went into panic. I guess I didn't know until recently how serious it was and what impact it had upon their life. I had been an organizer in Chicago, and I was involved in a lot of violent situations with guns. And so when it came directly upon me and my family, yes, it was frightening, but I tried to let it go and go on with the ministry. But it hung around. That family hung around. The church began to rebel when I invited that family's children to come to vacation Bible school. And when they started coming to Sunday school, and one of the daughters died, and I held her funeral in the sanctuary, the church rebelled. But on the other hand, they never informed us about the threats of this family. So on the one hand, I'm to be a pastor developer. On the other hand, there's all these foundations shaking around us. I share that story with you today, knowing that Grace Church does not have a history like that. Thank goodness. You have a history. Yes, you've had pastors for many, many years. And you've selected an interim pastor who's had those kind of experiences of pastoring. But you came together and have taken the opportunity to look at the future. And when you selected a search committee, the search committee was willing to spend a good amount of time with me, not just preparing to search, but preparing for the future of the church. And we took the book Moving Off the Map, and we looked at Martha. By the way, do we have? Yes. We have the slides up on the screen, so can we put Martha up there? Here she comes. There she is. People on the search committee know who Martha is, in case you do not. Martha was considered to be the last passenger pigeon that existed in the United States, dying at the turn of the century 100 years ago, being kept in the Cincinnati Museum. Why did I introduce Martha and the passenger pigeons to the search committee? Because Martha represented a great change in the world. For the bird that was the most predominant in the world was the passenger pigeon. And it became the best food for all the immigrants who came to the United States. So give us the next slide, please, Jonah. And there we are. You can see how thick the passenger pigeons are. They would be so thick that they would fly over and it would be 20 minutes of darkness around. And one of the places where they were so key was right close to here in Pataskala, Ohio. It radically changed the soil there. But what happened was the leader of each flock of the passenger pigeons would land into a tree and all the other birds would land in the tree and they would not leave until that leader of that flock flew away, even if they all got shot. And as the Gatling gun came about, they shot them and they put them in barrels and took them to Chicago and Detroit and Columbus and other places to feed all the immigrants. What an example of the church. I said to the search committee, it is the passenger pigeons. It is such a good example of the church that is dying today. Who do we follow? And is the pastor a passenger pigeon? Or is he not? I turn to the next scripture in 1 Corinthians. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. We are, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, we are building on a foundation laid before us. And while we build on that foundation, there's all these various complications that happen. While the church seeks to do the ministry of Jesus Christ, each week there are new things and new developments coming about that affect our leadership, our love, our joy, our fun, some of our new core values for faith, for Grace Church. But I want to bring to you to now some times of caution. As we've talked about these stories and this opportunity, the first time of caution is isolation for a church. As we continue to talk about the foundation of the church and the phrase, upon this rock, I will build this church, I want to take you to the photo that I placed on the cover of the bulletin today, and now is on the screen. What a great photo, I thought, when I found this online. My goodness, a house built on a rock on the River Drina near the western suburban town, if I can't even pronounce it, about 99 miles from the capital. But just imagine someone building that building. It would be a great place to go on a retreat, right in the middle of a river. There is a picture online where people are on their canoes paddling to get there. But is it a place for a church? It's such an example of how a church can become so isolated, how we can become so divided away from our society, that we build our church and we have our walls and we have our struggles, but we may not be the church if we are isolated from this community. Point number two, breaking of the foundation. Oh yes, we're going to get specific around here in a minute. Let me give you that old phrase, see if you can still do it. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How many can say that? How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Why do I bring that up? Since my arrival at Grace Church, we've had many witnesses and conversations about the groundhogs around here. The woodchucks that live within the holes and dig next to the under the foundations of the church and our shed. We have the photos of them. There he is. He's one of those around here that reside. But here's what he did. That's the picture of the woodchuck digging under the shed. Many holes like that under the shed. Okay, the next one. Oh, that's the one under the church. Many holes under the church. So why are we concerned about that from that cute little animal? Because they destroy the foundations. On Memorial Day, my son and I spent the day trying to, at our farm, to restore the old outhouse so it won't fall over the hill. But it is our chicken house that we're most concerned about because the groundhogs have dug so much underneath the foundation, those huge giant stones, that the chicken house is ready to fall down a huge hill. Yes. Now, but that's, again, I'm not asking us to jump into the groundhog question here today. I'm asking us to use it as an analogy. No matter how solid our foundation is, there's always something crawling around, digging under it, making the stones roll away. So, one of the things we have to look at as we bring forth our new pastor and a candidate to be, is we have to make sure, first of all, that we're not going to be an isolated church. Second of all, that we know we can change our foundation as it gets cracked, but we have to make sure we keep a foundation. The third one is building up the walls. We talked of isolation, but then the Bible has many conversations in scriptures about identifying the need to build walls or rebuild walls. Chronicles 14:7 reminds us that the walls were for the purpose of prospering. And Judah at that time said, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him and He has given us rest on every side." So they built and they prospered. Nehemiah comes up with. Nehemiah is the one who organized the great rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem for the purpose of protection. And then he said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall so that we will no longer be a reproach." There's a lot of concern about building walls. Proverbs 25 says, "Like a city that is broken and without walls is a man who has no control over the spirit." Yes, we need some form of walls in Grace Church. Of course, we have the good excuse to know that we need to lock the doors and keep our walls protected because someone broke into the church and broke into the parsonage not too long before I arrived. But let me lift up that most important passage in the New Testament in Ephesians 2:14 through 17. "For He is our peace. In His flesh He has made both groups into one, has broken down the dividing wall that separates us." That is the hostility between us. "He has abolished the law with its commandments and its ordinances, so that He might create in Himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God and one body through the cross." We must know that we have to figure out how to tear down the walls. Literally, we might need some walls. But walls between us and the community not just the physical walls, but they automatically serve as a dividing factor within us and out into the world. More so, the mental, spiritual, documentary, and different beliefs wall has created the hostility between various groups. These walls are not the primary divider of a church today in the world. Instead, as I have declared to you on many occasions, changing cultural modes and entertainment, Facebook, Twitter, the expansion of the common use of alcohol, drug addiction, political divisions, and so many other things that create our divisions. Grace Church, like so many others, has a good explanation, as I just said, for the need of our walls. But at times we need to stop and reflect upon and make repairs or changes to our spiritual foundation. This is part of what you have to do when you're searching and calling for a pastor. What kind of spiritual changes do we need to tear down the walls? Those were my points of caution. Now I bring up some questions. As you receive the information, the letter that you've received, and have the opportunity to meet and ask questions and to be in church as she leads in worship and preaches, are you prepared for the foundation changes needed in the future? That's question one. Question two, are you as an individual prepared to trust and receive the recommendation of the search committee? Or is your personal spiritual foundation to be threatened beyond the degree of comfort? I would hope that would be something we would all pray about this week. Isaiah 9:10 lays the analogy out in a helpful way. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with smooth stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. We have begun identifying the fallen bricks within this church. I recall the day after the church, day after church, when we looked at the history of Grace Church, and we had that long line of chronology, and you all shared various memories. Some of them were great, wonderful memories, and others of them brought those divisions back. They stayed with us. The question is, how will you replace them with cedars of love? I'm not here talking literally about the sycamore that Isaiah mentioned, because we have such beautiful sycamore trees. Put that slide up, please. Sycamore trees. Our sycamore trees are phenomenal. But Isaiah says they got cut down and had to be replaced. I'm not asking you to cut them down. I love them. But I'm concerned from the analogy. But I'm also concerned that we at Grace Church have to learn that the divisions come from generation questions. I know a lot about the baby boomers and many of you, the great generation as we call you, but I don't know a lot about the millennials or Generation Z or Generation X or the silent generation and the next upcoming generations. But I expect the new pastor will know a lot about that. We need that kind of pastor to know how to reach out to those generations that are isolated from the church today. And we need to know how to welcome them here. I can recall when we had that long line of the history of Grace Church, and there were some reflections. And I know that there were struggles when the church called a woman as pastor previously. And I would expect those feelings have not gone away. I know there were struggles in this church related to the congregation becoming an open and affirming congregation regarding the gay community. But I know that that's still around us. The question is, are we ready to build the foundation, even though it was shaken in the past, and trust our committee as they bring in a candidate to us? It's hard to call a pastor today. One of the statistics is that 50% of the United Church of Christ congregations, and I would expect the Disciples of Christ would be similar in other churches, 50% of the churches in our state can only hire a part-time pastor. So Grace Church is one of those that is so far ahead in that regard. When I was in Charleston, we had a new United Church of Christ pastor come to start a new church. Her name is Kay Albright. She came down from Columbus, from First Community Church. She'd gone to seminary here. She was raised in the church. So to start a new church in Charleston, West Virginia, she is managing the coffee shop, Starbucks. That's how she makes her living as she starts a new church. And that church is growing, by the way. But we have to shake the foundations. Let us remember Mark 6, that Jesus sends forth the 12. He called the 12 and sent them out two by two. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing of for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Well, you know, even your interim pastor went far beyond that with what I brought here to put in the parsonage and live. Grace Church, on the one hand, can take care of a pastor and provide for that pastor. And we give you thanks for that commitment. But we also know that that pastor, that shepherd, and you being the sheep, you have to know what expectations you have for that pastor. I know that there are many good things expected for a pastor. Both of these needs for a pastor are there, like visiting the sick, taking communion to those who are homebound today, being there with a family when someone dies in that family, and when needed, serving and having a funeral. These are good things that a pastor needs to do and be the shepherd. And by the way, your interim has not lived up to these expectations as he should have. The new pastor will be expected to plan and prepare for worship and preach a good sermon. These are good things and are expected, but both of these need to serve. Do not serve. As the primary means to build the house upon the rock of Jesus. They are not the primary means to build, as Paul says, the foundation laid before us. They are not the primary means to keep us from tearing or from building the walls that separate us. They are not the primary means to replace the cut down sycamore trees with the cedars or reach the persons with the Spirit. It's the pastor's job to provide a means to equip you, the church, to be open and ready for new directions. Yes, the foundation will need some secureness, such as Grace Church celebrating its 200th anniversary, I think, in 2016. We look back, though, in order to live forward. Meanwhile, I invite all of us to collectively and individually enter into the foundation by the means of prayer. For our hymn of dedication today, I have selected a children's song that prepares us to pray, and I invite you to join me as we sing, "The wise men build his house upon the rock, the wise men build his house upon the rock, the wise men build his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down."